The time is 2:15 p.m. The date is May 14th, 2020. And just as a reminder, any answers you provide will be included in a publicly accessible archive. So please do not share any information that you would not like to be publicly available. So we'll begin with some background questions. What is your name? And if you're comfortable, do you mind sharing your age and ethnicity?
My name is Grace Nickbauer, and I'm 20, and I'm white.
In general, where do you live?
I go to school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I have a house there.
And then do you have family that live in Minnesota? Where in Minnesota, just in general?
In Apple Valley.
Okay. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your initial thoughts about it, and how have your thoughts changed since then?
At first, I wasn't really sure what to think about it. I initially, many people were saying that it's similar to the flu, so that's kind of what I thought at first. And then as things progressed, I realized that it's different. And
What thoughts have concerned you the most about COVID-19?
I guess things that have concerned me the most is just how people are going to be staying safe throughout this, and our economy, how it will be affected through all of this.
What are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, your job, extracurricular activities, and how has COVID-19 affected that?
So normally, on a regular day, I would go to class at the university and then go to work at a daycare center, and then sometimes babysit in the afternoons, and then just kind of come home and do my normal thing. And COVID has affected that in a lot of ways. So classes for the university are all online, which is a big change. And the daycare center I was working at, because of COVID, has reduced staff and reduced number of kids. So I made the choice to come and stay at home with my dad instead of staying in Eau Claire.
And in general, where are you staying with your dad?
It's in South Dakota.
So now we can get on to some questions pertaining to the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. And just answer these to the best of your ability. What is your major at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and what year are you in?
I'm a sophomore and I'm a nursing major, psychology minor, and a certificate in American Sign Language.
So has COVID-19 affected you in any way when it comes to your minor? Not your minor, sorry, your major.
Not so much with my major because I haven't started nursing classes yet. I start them next fall. But it has just made it so things are online, which is a little bit difficult sometimes.
So you're in the nursing program, right? So do you know any nursing majors now that have been affected by it?
Yes, so there has been people have been struggling because with nursing, typically you would have clinicals that you would have to go to, and the clinical sites are obviously not able to allow students to come in. And so that has been a big change for a lot of nursing majors.
Where do most nursing majors do their clinicals?
Many do them at like nursing home facilities at first, and then believe they move into different clinics and things as the program moves on.
So has the change on campus from in-class learning to online learning affected your housing situation?
Yes, only because I chose to come stay with my dad instead of staying at my house in Eau Claire. I wouldn't have had to do that, but it seemed like he lives in a very rural area, so it seemed the most secluded and like a safer place.
It definitely has affected a lot of people on campus too, forcing people to leave and go home. How has the transition from in-class learning to online learning been for you?
For me personally, I have a little bit more of a relaxed semester this semester. So, since my classes aren't too terribly difficult in comparison to what I've had before, it hasn't been too much of a challenge. It is hard to stay on track and just to be self-motivated to get everything done, whereas in class, there's a little bit more encouragement from your professors and more interaction with your peers, which is helpful. And with online learning, you don't have that as much.
So you said you were studying ASL. Can you say what that is?
American Sign Language. So That has been actually affected quite a bit by e-learning because it's a very visual language and something that's very interactive. And so it's, to me, I don't learn it as well online because you have to watch videos and things, and it's just a different environment than doing it in person.
Do you feel that you have gotten the most out of your classes after the university shifted to online learning?
No, I definitely feel like I got more out of my classes when they were in person, mostly because you get a lot more interaction with professors and with your peers, and I just learned more. Like, for example, my sign language class, if you're in class, you are signing with your peers and with other people, and when you're doing it online, you're just watching the videos and doing the assignments and kind of going through the motions more so than really truly learning the things that you're being taught.
So when it comes to ASL, what are some things that your teacher has implemented to try to better your learning situation?
So she has posted videos of herself signing different things and videos from our workbook, and then we're just kind of using our book more so than we would have before to learn things. But she does do some videos of herself signing with little instructions and things in there. And same thing goes with my other classes. In my research methods class for psychology, we're doing a research paper, and she's been posting a lot of videos on how to do things. And she did some like lectures through videos online. And then she's been doing a lot of videos showing us how to do all the correct formatting and everything for our paper.
So a lot of ASL teachers, they are deaf, correct?
Many are.
So has that affected your ability to communicate through a web-based platform with your professor?
It is challenging. In my deaf culture class, we have an interpreter for that class because students of all different levels of ASL can take that class. So for example, I'm in ASL 4, but somebody who's in ASL 1 could also take that same class. So they have an interpreter just so everything is equal and everybody can understand things. And that has been a little bit challenging. So things have shifted to be online, and we have Zoom lectures once a week. But because there's an interpreter, sometimes it's hard because the interpreter will have to pause because she didn't understand something, or the video lags or something like that, or there's issues with the sound or some things like that that can sometimes make it a little challenging.
Do you feel that the response from campus officials on COVID-19 was appropriate?
I guess so, yes. I think that they were being as cautious as they could, and that was wonderful, and it was nice that they gave professors extra time to try to prepare for classes online.
Now, I don't know about you, but from my perspective, the response was rather quick from when they started, mm-hmm. you know, implementing the meetings to, you know, instituting, you know, we left a week early. And so that was very quick. Do you agree, or do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I agree that it was pretty quick. I feel like their decision was heavily influenced by what other colleges were doing around the country.
Or within the UW system,
or within
right?
the UW system, yep. So, and I guess I don't really know my thoughts on that. I don't know what I would do if I was in an administrative position, so I don't really have a strong opinion about whether the decisions they have made, if they did everything right or not, or I think they did the best they could in a tricky situation.
What do you think could have been done better when the university reacted to COVID-19?
I think one thing they could have done much better was communicate with the students better, because when they had first decided to let us go a week early before our spring break was supposed to start, and then there was a week after that where we also were going to not have class, but the first initial email that was sent out about that was so confusing. Like, people didn't know if we were having classes online or just completely canceled altogether, or how it was going to work. So I think that them having clearer communication could have been really beneficial. I guess apart from that, I would just say communicating in general with, you know, addressing student concerns and taking in what students have to think about the situation a little bit.
In reference for the recording, the UW-Eau Claire campus, we got out a week early before spring break, and then we had an extra week after of online classes to prepare.
No, those were just canceled completely.
Cancel classes, and then an extra week.
And then an extra week or two that was supposed to be online. And then they were going to discuss whether or not we would go back to school.
Do you remember there was... They came out with that decision rather early than when they said they were gonna.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Now I feel like that was the right decision. At the time, I struggled to understand why they made that decision so early. I had hoped they would wait and just kind of see where things were at. And I would hope that for fall semester, I know some places have chosen to cancel classes for fall semester already. I'm hoping that the university waits to see a little bit more where the situation is at that point, rather than making that decision so early.
If UW-Eau Claire didn't meet in the fall, would that affect your nursing program at all?
Yes, it would, because I would be in clinical classes and things like that. And I think from perspectives of courses like that, it's really hard to do those online because the things you learn are very... hands-on and things that are very difficult to do from home.
So are there programs out there where you could do some of your nursing classes online to make them somewhat hands-on, or is it really a dedicated, you have to be in the classroom type of thing?
You know, I'm not really sure. I'm thinking like for your sciences class, they have online simulations you can do. And I'm assuming with nursing, there's maybe some online simulations that you could do. But an online simulation is not even comparable to what you would do in a classroom.
So is there anything that professors have done in class that has helped you transition from in-class learning to online learning?
My professors have been very organized, which has been really helpful with the transition. They have been really good at communicating and getting us a schedule and a timeline of when things are going to be due. My research methods professor has been exceptionally just great with this whole thing. She has done the class I'm taking online in the past, which I think really helped her to be prepared to do this. And she has made communication really clear, and she's done a lot of instructional videos on things rather than just trying to explain it through an email or a Canvas announcement. So that has been really, really helpful.
Do you know anybody, and you don't have to give names, that have been psychologically affected by the shift to online learning?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have really struggled with it. People get very, very overwhelmed with online learning, and some people just have really struggled and been much more anxious and much more stressed out with it.
Well, and that definitely, you know, and on campus, you're in a place of learning, but when you go home, you have a lot of distractions, and a lot of people don't have very good home environments. So that's definitely...
Yes, absolutely.
So do you have anything else you want to comment on with in relation to UW-Eau Claire or any other UW system?
No.
Okay. So we can get into some employment questions now. Has COVID-19 affected your job? And if so, in what ways?
Yes, it has. So the child care center I work at, the state of Wisconsin made it so that there was a limited capacity, so they could only accept a certain number of kids, which was much less than we would normally have. And with that, only a certain number of staff members were allowed to show up. And I chose to come home to my dad's house rather than to work. But if I would have been able to work, many of my coworkers have experienced reduced hours. And they've changed things. They've made it so that when you come in, every kid and every staff member and parents and everybody has to get their temperature taken in the mornings when they drop their kids off. And they've done a lot of changes like that to try to make things a little bit safer.
So has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know? In what ways? This could be as simple as people working from home.
Yes, COVID-19 has definitely affected people. I know many people in my family have had to start working at home when normally they would go into an office every day. I know many people who have been laid off from their jobs and had to go on unemployment because of COVID-19. Their employers just weren't doing as well or different things like that. I know many people, there's a lot of changes in the way, like, their shifts changed. For example, my brother, he is in the military, and they had changed things to be so that they would have 12-hour shifts instead of his usual shift, and then they made it so that it would be a week on and a week off so that there would be more separation between the people working.
What other limitations does your brother have, if you don't mind sharing?
I'm not really sure. I know that for a while there he's not allowed to go more than an hour away from where he lives, where his base is at. And for a while there he was, I don't remember what it was called, but they weren't allowed to consume any alcohol or anything like that, and they weren't allowed to travel anywhere, and they were pretty much like couldn't do much of anything but go to work, and they were supposed to go home.
So now we can get into some family and household questions. How has COVID-19 affected you and or your family's day-to-day activities?
I guess for me, because I moved back in with my dad rather than staying my house in Eau Claire, that has made it so that I don't go to class and I don't go to work, and so that has been different. Because I live in a rural area and my dad farms and owns his own business, he is still actually able to go to work because he does everything outside. So it hasn't affected that too much, but all my cousins, they can't go to school, and just different things like that. I guess it's different. We don't go to the stores as much and try to do grocery shopping less frequently and that kind of stuff.
How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household? So the one we're at now.
I guess I've just been trying to stay busy. Been trying to focus on homework and...
Are there any projects that you've been doing to try to stay busy?
Yeah, so I have been making a lot of beanbag or cornhole boards for people. Different neighbors have wanted them, and I made some for myself, some for my dad, and then built them and painted different designs on them, different patterns depending on what people wanted. Been doing a lot of puzzles and just cooking and baking and things like that to try to stay busy.
Has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family?
Yeah, it definitely has. In the past, I have roommates that I lived with, and I talked to them every single day and, you know, would come home on the weekends. And now I'm living at home, so I see my family more frequently. But, you know, my friends and stuff, we've been just trying to stay in touch through texting, and I FaceTime with my roommates pretty frequently and FaceTime with my mom pretty frequently because she lives in the Twin Cities, so I haven't been seeing her much. I guess that's about it.
What have you, your family, and your friends done for recreation during COVID-19? So you said that you've been making cornhole boards, which is a great activity because, you know, you're outside, you can stay 6 feet apart. But what are some other things you've been trying to stay busy? You know, we're outside, right? We're in an area where we can go outside and there's not a lot of people around us. So are there any specific things that you've been doing?
Yeah, I've been, outside trying to walk more. So I walk about 4 to 6 miles a day, depending on the day. And been helping my grandma in the garden, and because of my family farms, we've been busy doing a lot of planting things and other things like that. Just been trying to play games, and my family and I, we play a lot of dominoes, or we've been playing cornhole because I made the boards. Just different, as much as things we can do to stay busy.
So now we can start getting into some community questions. How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? And remember, you may be part of many communities, including school, club, church, job, etc. You are welcome to speak about all of these.
Yeah, so we've already talked about school a little bit, so we won't say too much about that. But I guess just that, you know, things are online and that has changed quite a bit. And with my job, you know, they've changed a few things there. I know even though I'm not there, I still talk to some coworkers that have been there, and they're just doing a lot more precautions to make sure everybody stays safe. In my church, we have not been having church because of COVID, so that is quite a change. Church has been online, so they've been asking people from the congregation to do readings and things in their home and send them to our pastor, and she puts it together in a really nice video. So that's been pretty different.
How long have you been not going to church for?
We haven't been going to church since they canceled the week I came here to South Dakota, which was probably 2 months ago, maybe a little more.
About 8 weeks?
Yeah, maybe a little more. 10, maybe. 10 weeks.
So, are there other churches in the area that are continuing meeting as a congregation?
Yes. So, because the state of South Dakota never issued any kind of a safer home for the entire state, there are churches that chose to go against the recommendations and continue to hold church, and they feel very strongly that that is the correct decision, as long as they're, you know, sitting apart in the church and things like that.
So within the church, when they're meeting as a congregation, they still practice social distancing and things like that?
To my knowledge, I've heard from other people I know that go to that church that they sit apart and things, but I know for a while they were still using what's called the common cup at communion. I don't know if that has continued or not. Same with passing of offering plates or things like that. I'm not really sure because I don't go to church at that particular place. But I do know they have still been holding church.
And how do you feel personally about gatherings of people like that?
I think that, you know, you don't have to be in church to all still worship. I think that you can have God in your own home. So I feel like you are putting people at risk by having those services. But at the same time, if you have them, people can choose not to go, and that's each person's individual choice, to choose to go to church and have that risk for themselves and everybody else. And I guess if that's a choice they can live with, it's not a choice I would make, but.
So are you a member of any clubs?
Not too much. I do some things through the school, but those have all kind of been canceled.
So clubs can include, I would say, if you're a teacher's assistant or things along that nature too. If you are, you know, you can elaborate on that too.
Yeah, so I actually am a teacher's assistant for my anatomy and physiology class, and that's a good example of a class that has changed quite a bit due to COVID. So I took that class. It's a two-semester class, so I've taken that a couple semesters. And for lab, you would typically have lab in person, and you'd be able to use the models and exams and everything. You weren't allowed to use your notes and weren't allowed to do any of that. And online is very different. I think many students have been handling it pretty well. That's a very intense class. So for me, I think I would struggle to have it online because it would include a lot of self-motivation. But the students have been doing pretty well with it. And as a TA, it has made it so I used to go to lab with the students and then go to Open Lab in the library and help out students and answer their questions and, you know, help them find things on the microscopes and explain different concepts that they were struggling to understand. And online, I don't really get a lot of students coming to me and asking me questions because they're able to use their books and their notes on the exams because there's not really a way for the professor to prevent that from happening. So they've just kind of opened it up to be more of an open book format. I haven't been getting as many questions, and I don't get to, you know, I was just starting to build relationships with the students in my lab, and now that's not happening, so that's a little bit of a bummer.
You know, I would agree with you. I'm a TA also, and the benefit of working as a TA is you really get to meet a diverse group of people and work with them and also build skills personally. And it is disappointing that, you know, we weren't able to really meet with students and continue to build relationships.
Yes.
So how are people around you responding to COVID-19? So this could be family, friends, when you go to the grocery store, what are you seeing? When, you know, you go to Menards, what are you seeing? You know, home improvement stores, things like that.
Yeah. So I've noticed many people, you know, it really varies. So, you know, some people are very afraid and don't want to go out. And if they do, they wear a mask and gloves and they're very, very cautious. Other people go to the stores and act like nothing is happening. We've been to the stores and seen like little kids crawling around on the floor and things like that. So some people just really seem to not be affected much. And as we had talked about my church, you know, our church had canceled church and we haven't been congregating together. But other churches have and people still choose to go. So I guess it just, you know, everybody's opinion is a little bit different, I guess.
When you go to the stores, are you seeing a shortage of anything in particular?
My grandma lives very close, and so she does a lot of baking, and I've been baking a lot with her. For a long time, there was a big shortage of flour. We were really struggling to find flour, and my grandma has always made her own homemade bread and buns and everything, and so that shortage of flour was very just surprising, I guess, because many people, I don't think a lot of people even really know how to bake things that much with flour, so it was surprising that they were out of that. The shortage of toilet paper, everybody knows about that. They were selling it at one point for $1 per roll in the stores, which was kind of crazy to me. There was, for a while, like a shortage of eggs, which is very random, so we just got them from some neighbors instead of buying the expensive ones at the store.
Now, being in the community around here, I've noticed a lot of people are getting nervous about a shortage of meat. Can you reiterate a little bit on that?
So farmers around here, specifically in the pork industry, because the pork plant in the city nearest here,
the Smithfield pork plant right in Sioux Falls.
Yep.
South Dakota.
Closed down for a while. That has affected a lot of local farmers. So unfortunately, farmers have had to try to empty their hog barns on their own and try and just sell to people in the community and people they know, which has been very difficult because some people have to just have to get rid of their pigs and they don't get money for them. And that's been really hard to watch, you know, neighbors and friends and family have to go through that. We have purchased some hogs from a neighbor and we had them butchered at a local locker just to try to support the local people a little bit more. And I think that as things start to open back up, there won't be, people think there's going to be a shortage in the stores. There hopefully will not be.
So have you seen people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities or relationships in response to the pandemic?
Yeah, I know a lot of people who, you know, aren't on Easter, for example, chose not to get together with their families because they live in different areas or whatever and just didn't want to risk that. For me, all my family lives right next to each other, so we all see each other every day. So I was able to still go on with that, but that celebration still looked different because typically we would go to church and celebrate there, and that wasn't an option. Yeah, I don't know. Other than that, you know, people trying not to go to the stores as much, and some people are not as cautious. Just depends.
So when you go to the stores, is there anything, preventative measures, that stores have implemented?
Yeah, so many stores have the plexiglass screens to try to protect their employees. Many of them, I've noticed more cart wipes where they used to not have them. We went and got my grandma some flowers to plant, and the greenhouse had said, you know, like limit of 2 people in the greenhouse at a time. A lot of stores have the X's for where people should stand so that they're 6 feet apart, and, you know, you can only enter through one door and exit through another, whereas normally you'd be able to go however you want, or one-way aisles in the grocery store, different things like that.
So self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, your family, friends, and community responded to requests to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
We have been self-isolating quite a lot. Just being out where my dad lives, I'm very isolated, so we don't really see anyone but each other. And, you know, if we have to go to the store or something, my grandma has sewn masks, and we have been using those when we go out in public. Just different things like that. Just, you know, if we see the neighbors, you know, wave to them, or if we are talking to them, it's outside so that we're farther apart.
Has COVID-19 changed your relationship with family, friends, and community? And if so, in what ways?
I don't know. I guess it's made things different. My relationships haven't been necessarily like harmed by it, but just different. You know, more things over the phone or things like that rather than gathering in person.
So now we can get into some health questions. Have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak? What has been your experiences in responding to the sickness?
So a family member of mine, he flew on a plane shortly after everything with COVID kind of began, and then he got sick. And another one of my family members picked him up from the airport, so then they both had to quarantine, and he actually got tested and he was negative, thankfully, but that was just kind of an interesting experience, you know, and it was kind of scary.
In what ways do you think that COVID-19 is affecting people's mental and or physical health?
I think a lot of people are struggling with their mental and physical health during this time. I think not interacting with people as much has been really hard for some. And I think that there's a lot of people who just really need that interaction with others and aren't getting that. I think there's a lot of people who live in homes that are abusive, and those people, I imagine, are really struggling even more so than they already maybe were, because they're stuck at home and can't go to school or work or wherever it was that they went to get away from those relationships that were unhealthy.
So now we can get into some government-related questions. Have the and this question is a unique question when it pertains to South Dakota, which is the state we're at now. How have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
Yeah, so I have kind of an interesting situation because I have a home in Wisconsin. My mom lives in Minnesota and my dad lives in South Dakota, and Minnesota and Wisconsin have responded in similar ways with stay-at-home orders and some things like that. And here in South Dakota, the governor, she chose not to have a stay-at-home order during this time. And I think the main reason behind that is because the state is much more rural and very, very spread out. So some parts of the state had very, very few or no cases at all. And so she kept the stay open to try and keep small businesses and things like that afloat. Whereas in those bigger communities, they closed a lot more things.
Such as Sioux Falls, which didn't really close and became one of the fastest growing hotspots in the nation.
Yes. So Smithfield, the pork plant we had spoken of earlier, they got hit pretty hard. And then because of that, in Sioux Falls, specifically the Sioux Falls, government officials closed down bars and restaurants and non-essential places like that, but the rest of the state that wasn't experiencing so many issues, they remained open, and many people have chosen to social distance despite that.
Do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
I guess I don't really have too strong of an opinion because I'm not in those positions. So I guess I'm just thankful that I am not the one having to make those decisions, because I think that regardless of what decisions are made, people are going to not agree with decisions you make. If you decide to have a stay-at-home order in your state, there are people who are going to protest that. And if you decide to keep everything open, there are going to be people who disagree with you on that. So I think that everybody's doing what they feel is best for their communities, and I'm glad I'm not in the position of making those decisions.
So my last question pertains to, now we're, I feel, on the tail end of what the government considers the COVID-19 pandemic. We're starting to reopen things. So this question is, how do you feel about states reopening, such as opening for businesses, beaches, and parks?
I think that, again, I'm glad it's a decision that I haven't had to make. I think that a lot of small businesses have really, really suffered during this coronavirus time. So I think that gradual reopening could be very good for those places, I guess. I think that people should still be trying to be as cautious as they can, and businesses should continue to do the things they have to, like clean things better and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't really know.
So do you feel that part of the reason why states are reopening things such as beaches and parks is for people's mental and mental health and kind of morale?
Yeah, I definitely do think that that is part of it. I think being cooped up in the house is really hard on a lot of people. And I think, you know, when it comes to physical health, a lot of people, you know, I know even for myself, you know, you're bored or whatever, you open up the fridge to eat something, and, you know, people are experiencing issues with that, especially if they haven't been able to get out and go outside and things like that. So I can understand that, although I do think that if those places get very packed and crowded, that that could be potentially a dangerous situation for people who are, especially people who are at risk.
So now we can get into some questions about the future. So has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community? If so, in what ways?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I don't think it's really changed how I personally view people. It has maybe changed how the way I think that different states and different government systems deal with crisis like this. I'm not a very highly opinionated person, so I guess it really hasn't changed my opinion too much.
So now that we understand the possibilities of pandemics happening again in the future and the impacts that they can have, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future? Because there's a chance that this could happen again.
Mm-hmm. I think that something that people should take into consideration is how important vaccinations are for children and for yourselves. Maybe part of my opinion on that is that I'm a nursing major. But, you know, things like this can be avoided if there's vaccines. In this case, that wouldn't have mattered because there's not a vaccine for COVID yet. But I think that that's something important to keep in mind. I also think that it's important to, I guess, just remember to wash your hands. Even if there's not a global pandemic, wash your hands. It's, you know, if you go to the grocery store and touch a cart, just because there's not a pandemic doesn't mean there's not a million little germs all over that, and it's still gross.
So I have one more question because you mentioned vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So the polio virus created a generation of people that feared the little bugs, you know, on the grocery cart handles. And they dedicated themselves to making sure that their children always had vaccines. So the younger generations now are starting to go away from vaccines because they don't see or recognize the threat. Do you think that this pandemic has instituted in them the same thing that happened to past generations with the polio vaccine, and now we'll start to see vaccinations increasing again?
You know, I'm not really sure. I guess that's a question we will learn the answer to as time goes on. I certainly hope so, because I am a big believer that vaccines are a wonderful thing. But I guess we'll see what other people, how this has changed their perspective.
Awesome. That's all the questions I have. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you.